Golf Talk America is brought to you in part by Club Corp, the world leader in private clubs. Go to clubcorp.com for more information.
The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on pgatour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you. It is Thursday, November the 8th, and they have already gotten ready and teeing up. I know the guys warming up, getting ready for the first round of the next stop on the PGA Tour, and that starts today at the Mayakoba Classic in Playa del Carmen, Mexico. A very beautiful place to be right about now. And some unique things happening in that tournament this year. So we'll talk about what's happening at that event coming up in just a little bit. We also have one of our favorite people from the Golf Channel, Todd Lewis, joining us to talk about what's going on with the world of golf as he sees it and what he sees coming forward. We'll talk about a lot of things, including Jordan Spieth, who is making history because it's his first ever event at Mayakoba, every time playing there. So what's going on with Jordan? A lot of people wondering about Jordan Spieth, who's been a very dry spell for him, to see if he's going to come out of it at any time soon. So a lot of things that we'll talk to Todd Lewis about very, very shortly. As always, Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios joining us. How you doing today, Frank?
How about those Titans?
Oh.
You knew it was
coming. I've forgotten about that.
Yeah, I mean, you tried to. I just wanted to remind you since this is...
Did they play recently? Was their game?
Dallas didn't, but we did. Yeah.
Nobody played.
Yes, it was a terrible game. Actually, it was a pretty boring football game, to be honest. So.
Yeah, I didn't even finish watching. It was getting late and boring to me, and I was just like, okay. There's a lot going on. As far as the Cowboys in a daily basis, there always is anyway around here. But certainly with the team not looking anything close to being a playoff contender, what's going to happen? So, yeah, there's – and I can't wait to get Forcey on with us to talk because the Redskins also lost. It's like nobody wants to win, right? Maybe everybody's just handing it to the Saints and the Rams or the Patriots, and everybody else is just going to go away. So it maybe won't matter. But, there's been a lack of drama, that's for sure.
Did your head coach – is he going to – jump over to MLB or what? I mean, he's going to go to another game
or check out some baseball. I'll tell you, Frank, I mean, perception is reality, isn't it? And if you're winning, you can do anything you want to do, right? I mean, they could show him and he could go to Cirque du Soleil, go to Vegas and have a great time. If you're 8-1 or something, who cares? But if you're not winning games, even if you have a week off, it happened to Tony Romo. You probably don't remember, but a long time ago, probably 8 years, they had a bye week before going to the playoffs because
he was dating Jessica Simpson, right?
And he went down to Mexico, went down to Cabo, and it was all over the papers and stuff. And everybody's like, oh, well, they're going, well, he does have a week off, and it was time off. He didn't sneak out of practice. They gave everybody, you know, like 4 or 5 days off because he had the extra week. And he decided to go there instead. Again, when you come out and you don't win the next week, then suddenly people are going, oh, really, did you need to go to Mexico?
Well, didn't the team have a meeting and say, you need to quit dating her? She ever not come to the games? She's bad luck for us?
Well, there
they did.
There was some. For a while there, he dated Carrie Underwood, and he dated Jessica Simpson, Romo did. And so, there was a time when it was like, that's just totally taken over the headlines of and away from the team and away from what's going on in football because the whole People magazine part of his life was like dominating.
Well, that's the conversation, like in the movie Animal House where the little devil is on each shoulder, the devil and the angel. That Carrie Underwood and Jessica Simpson. That's two ends of the spectrum there, baby.
I mean, I was even getting called as a person in the media here. From like In Touch and People Magazine, wanting some little inside scoop. Hey, what have you heard? Because I was doing a radio show then, and Tony was part. And I'm like, I don't know. You know, I was Sergeant Schultz.
I know nothing.
Don't have any idea. It was bizarre. I mean, it really was a weird time. And now, to wrap this whole thing up, people are probably wishing that those days were back and that Tony Romo was back with the Cowboys because. Yeah. It has not been a pretty time around here with Des Bryant. Des Bryant. Yeah, now he's in New Orleans, but with Dak Prescott.
Yeah. It's bad there. It's bad here. It's bad everywhere. The NFL's, I don't know, the games to me are boring. They're boring. I'd rather watch reruns of Alabama football games.
Watching Drew Brees is still pretty good.
Well, Drew Brees is good. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. You know? And you got to love New Orleans. Yeah. It's not New Orleans. It's New Orleans.
I know. And that's why it's just confusing there. Des Bryant, former Cowboy receiver, just signed yesterday.
1 year.
With New Orleans. So, we'll see if he can. And he plays back here in Dallas. Oh, you don't think he is counting the days that he can come back and hopefully catch, in his mind, 10 passes for 3 touchdowns
he better
just kill Jerry and the Cowboys?
He better sneak in through the tunnel at Fort Worth Country Club.
Yeah, it's going to be scary.
It's not going to be good.
But I'll tell you what, it's going to be drama. I mean, let's be honest. That's what sports is all about now, right? It's the drama everybody creates. It's what Giselle says after a Super Bowl. It's not really the Super Bowl. It's what the wives are saying. And, you know, it's like Ryder Cup again, right? It's like, there's just always drama around
too much.
Around sports today. So
one of my favorite lines is save the drama for your mama and just get out there and play football. Damn it. Play football.
Yeah.
Play baseball. Play basketball.
Yeah.
You know, forget about all the noise. And I call that noise that surrounds all of it. You know, I'm not there for all that. And to heck with the band at halftime. I'm sorry you never hear me. You thought you'd never hear me say that, but I could care less. Let's play some football.
Yeah.
And just watch it. You know?
There's nothing but drama. And there's no way going back. I mean, everybody can say all they want about any sport. I mean, golf and whatever you want to talk about. The good old days are gone. And at some point, Frank, as much as it's off the rails right now, people are going to look back in 25 years ahead and go, boy, it was so nice back in that 2018, 2019, when all they were doing was tweeting every day. And all the stuff we're looking at is being a pain. They're going to think that was so nice and low-key back then. Look how crazy it is now, because it just keeps getting crazier.
Well, for a while, if you back up a little bit, it was more like it was difficult for a lot of the players on the football teams, whether it be college and or professional football, because they were mostly wearing ankle bracelets. I mean, remember just all the crime that was just running rampant through the Ravens and everywhere. I mean, it was just, oh, my God. We are a little bit better off now, but anyway. Yeah. What are the good old days?
We are the fusion, Frank, by the way.
Confusion
of sports and music and entertainment and golf. And there you have it. We talk about a little bit of everything. And by the way, Frank, I mean, I think we should toot our own horn a little bit here. We talk about it in front of more people than any golf show you could find between here and, I'm going to say, Shanghai.
Anywhere. You know, some people say that
we're
most
available.
Listened to.
People want to listen to us.
Oh, my gosh. PGAtour.com, the largest site for golf in the entire world. Worldwide, millions and millions and millions.
Tens of millions of people.
Yeah.
Every day.
Actually, hundreds of millions in the long run. As well as iTunes, TuneIn, Stitchers, SoundCloud, AudioBean, Google Play, Alexa. We're on up over 27 total platforms across the world for Golf Talk America.
Wow.
But, you know, PGAtour.com. There are basically 4 shows that are the PGA Tour endorses on their platform, which is huge. And that's ourselves. That's John Swantek with Talk of the Tour. That's On the Mark with Mark Immelman. And our web.com show with our friends there, as well as the play-by-play. And that's it.
Right.
So we're you know, a lot of people talk about how big they are. We really don't talk about it that much. But we are. We are absolutely enormous as far as our reach and distribution, more so than any other golf show in the world. So, you know,
I didn't even realize all. I'm getting nervous now. I thought it was just like you, me, and like 4 or 5 people. There's
many.
It's
a whole bunch. I thought it was mom listening from the grave, but no.
Scary now.
Yeah, we're even distributed in heaven. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry, God.
Yeah.
All
right.
But, and well. I don't want to brag too much, but we're really proud of our platform and proud of the fact that that PGA Tour logo sits on top of Golf Talk America, which is an honor in itself to be part of the PGA Tour and to be endorsed by the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
Which if all of our listeners know, but it's the PGA Tour, PGA Tour Champions. You know, it's the Canada, PGA Tour Canada, McKenzie, right? The China Series.
Web.com.
The Web.com Tour. And we're also on LPGA platform and Symetra Tour. So as far as golf's concerned, we got it covered. We never talk about golf.
Like
we talk about football. We're call Earl
like
Forsey.
Blanket.
Can't wait
to hear what he has to say.
Hey, CMAs are coming up here in Nashville. So by the way, from the entertainment and music side of it. And speaking of Carrie Underwood, she'll be co-hosting with Brad Paisley again this year.
They do such a good job at that.
God,
I really enjoy.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brad,
I mean, they're funny. They're good. They do little bits and everything. They suddenly become like a comedy team, right?
Well, it's like Peyton Manning and Brad. No, those commercials.
Yeah.
We're getting the band back together.
I know.
Peyton, we were never.
I had no idea that. I mean, Brad Paisley probably figured he had, you know, I'm going into music because I love music. He had no idea. Not maybe he did because he knew he had maybe a little bit of sense of humor and stuff. But this whole side of him with Carrie and with Peyton Manning, it's like it's brought him to so many other people that go, what's that guy do? Oh, he's a musician. It's almost like they don't even know because he's so good at these other things. And you see him so much on those commercials with Peyton Manning. If you don't know country music and you didn't know him, you still like the commercials because you're like, oh, those guys are funny.
They are. Yeah. Peyton plays the nerd so well in that. You know, I'm in a band.
We're getting the band back together.
Speaking of bands and singers, there's a guy that we're going to be bringing on here that had a band and was a lead singer in a band. And he is the lead interviewer and one of the top guys at the Golf Channel. I mean, he is the top interviewer on the Golf Channel, I believe.
Always
totally.
There.
He's always there.
Talk to everybody in the world of golf. He's always the guy that's right there.
He hosts Morning Drive when Gary's out or whatever. I mean, he really can do a whole lot. And he's probably one of the nicest guys on the face of the earth. And a hell of a good golfer, too.
It'd be nice to get him on the show once in a while.
Yeah, I wish we could get him on. What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know if we can pull
some
strings.
He just sent me a note and said, did I miss you? So let's just call him. There he is. That's Todd Lewis live with us. Hey, buddy. How are you?
Hey,
holy smokes.
How are you?
We were talking about music. Todd Lewis from the Golf Channel joined us right now live on Golf Talk America. And Todd, we were talking about music and Brad Paisley and Carrie Underwood hosting the CMAs. And I just threw it out there that the guy coming on from the Golf Channel, although he's so talented at what he does, and the best as far as we're all concerned on the Golf Channel. You had a band, and you were a singer at one time, were you not?
Back in college, yes.
Yeah,
a long time ago. But now I'm 51, and so my band days are done.
Oh, come on, man. Wait a minute.
Get the band
we're
back
getting
together,
the band
Todd.
Back together, Todd.
I'll have some fun with it. My friends and some people in the business that know about what, for some reason, if you go to a party and you hear a band, I feel like I've won like 6 Grammys for whatever reason. And I was like, hey, you know, I should be up there singing with the band. And I'll tell my friends that. And then all of a sudden they're telling the band and then I'm up there. It actually, one of the cool things that this was a cool moment was I was hosting Ernie L's National L's for Autism Foundation event in Las Vegas, which is a tremendous event and a tremendous foundation and charity. And after the ceremony, they had a concert and party, and playing at the concert and party was Train.
Train? Wow.
Like the big dog Train.
Big time.
You know, the ones that they sell out arenas. And they, being the organizers for L's for Autism, knew about my 50% talent. And and so I got called up on stage, and Pat Monahan, who's the lead singer for Train, he grew up in San Francisco. He's a big Journey guy. He actually inducted Journey into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And he looked at me and he said, hey, we're gonna do a little sing-off for Don't Stop Believing. So he would sing the first verse, I would sing the second verse, and we came back and forth, and we had brought some kids who have autism on or on the spectrum up on stage with us, and we sang together. So that was a really special musical moment for a variety of reasons, but that's about it. All right, so that's about the bragging I'm going to do about the singing.
That's huge. That's absolutely huge. Are you kidding? I would have been terrified up there beside him. Good.
Yeah, well, and by the way, Todd, picking on a guy who can't sing very well like Steve Perry, good comparison there. That's a tough act to follow.
Yeah, no kidding. I don't have those
pipes. That guy's got no voice.
Hey, before we get into the real meat, you know, Todd, you know Tim is, you know, CBS Dallas. And we had a little bet Monday with Steve Johnson, Hank Haney's managing partner. And we're not done with this yet, pal. This is my opportunity. Okay. The Dallas Cowboys played the Tennessee Titans, and we all know how that ended. So I just wanted to make sure I had a witness that Tim Matthews owes me $100, and so does Steve Johnson.
$20. It was $20.
We told Steve it was $100.
See, this keeps getting worse. It's like Todd. It's like Todd singing. I mean, suddenly
Todd
now
singing,
yeah,
it keeps
Todd,
it
Todd was.
It keeps getting worse.
Todd was, no, it's getting, the story gets bigger. Todd was, for a while, the lead singer of Journey. That's what I get out of that story. That's what's going to go on from here, is that he replaced Steve Perry at Journey, and you're now up to $100. Pretty soon it'll be $1,000 I owe you.
And I'm going to be playing trumpet on the road with Earth, Wind, and Fire in Chicago in the concert tour. See? So there
we all,
you go.
Okay. We all have our dreams, don't we? Yeah, we all have our dreams.
There we go.
Hey, Todd, can I ask you a little golf?
Sure.
Let's talk a little bit about that. The Mayakoba Classic in Playa del Carmen, next on the stop, starting right now. They're out there on the golf course right now, and the early guys are out. This was a year ago when Patton Gizzire went from being kind of a really good web.com player trying to hang on to the PGA Tour, and he won his first event. Then about 2 months later, he won the Sony, and his career was off and going. But then he kind of petered out and hadn't gotten a top 10 finish since that time, way back when. So my question is, in the world of golf, we see these young guys coming out of nowhere, and we always kind of assume that they become the next JT and the next Spieth. But for a lot of them, they can also start and stop. And Patton Kizzire thought probably for a while he's going to be Ryder Cup and everything else, and it didn't really pan out for him. Very good golfer, but it just shows you how really, really tough it is to stay competitively and very, very good for a long stretch of time and not just have a little window, but to really do it for year after year after year is incredibly difficult.
Yeah, well, two things on that. I mean, you can look at some of the players in the top 10 in the world that we had already ordained as being the greatest players of this generation, some of us. I mean, look at Rory McIlroy. He's a perfect example. Number one player in the world, obviously a multiple major champion. He did win at Bay Hill in 2018, but really has been disappointed himself with what he has done on the golf course over the last few years. So you look at him and at Jordan Spieth. Look at Jordan Spieth. How he found out how difficult this golf can be. Didn't win this year, and he's trying to get things in order as well. Yeah, it's hard, and I think there's two things that plays to. Number one, I think the biggest thing is the quality of depth globally as far as golf goes is tremendous. I mean, I see it all the time on all continents. I'm actually leaving Sunday to go to Dubai for the DP World Tour Championship, which is the season finale for the European Tour. And the level of that tour and players over there is really, really strong. So you got that. And then the fact that, I think this is a little bit part of it, to be honest with you. There's so much money out there that I'm just curious, either consciously or subconsciously, if desire for some of these players is at an all-time high as it was like 25 years ago when guys had to really go out there and play well to feed their family.
Yeah.
I think there's a little bit of that. I think just, not tremendous. And I think all these guys obviously want to compete and obviously want to practice and win. But I think there is a little bit of comfort when you get up to a pretty good level. I mean Patton Kizzire, he's multimillionaire just last year. And so you think about that. That's why, in my opinion, I so was appreciative of what Tiger was able to do. Because when he was at the height of his powers, nobody was making more money than him. And he was still out there ripping everybody's aorta out. So that's just so impressive.
Yeah, and I think, too, what you're saying, I mean, Patton Kizzire, I don't know this, I'm making it up, but I might be pretty close, might have more career-earning dollars than Arnold Palmer already in his career.
Probably.
And there's plenty of guys that have.
Probably.
So when you look at, you're right, the difference in money from super, superstars, Hall of Fame golfers 20 and 30 years ago, and today's guys that sometimes come and go, there is so much money, and they've all got big houses, and they're flying private, and they're doing all those things that you do wonder. If you don't have that heart of Tiger, the Michael Jordan kind of thing, where it's not about that financial success. You want to keep winning and winning. A lot of guys, life is so good, I don't know if I need to keep practicing and keep doing that. So you do wonder how long they can keep it up.
Right, and I'm not saying that. Look, I think the first reason I gave is the most important is the fact that there is so much talent out there. And that a lot of that actually is a byproduct of Tiger's success in this generation. But I do think there is some aspect of like, hey, there's so much money out there just from endorsements. I mean, $1 million to wear a company logo on your sleeve or, whatever. It's just, $20 million to play these clubs. I'm not saying these great players don't want to go out there and they don't work. And they don't. But where's the thirst and the hunger at that point? I don't know. It's an interesting conversation I've had with some players. And I'm not saying that is an excuse. It's not. But I do think that there's so much money out there. It could be actually a little bit more of a curse than a blessing.
Yeah, in some instances. I want to move to a subject that that we've talked about on this show a bunch lately, and that's the official World Golf rankings. Mm. You know, Todd, I just wanted to get your read on it because, you know, this week we have, you know, Justin Rose, I'm sorry, I should say, world number one. But at the end of this week, he will not be world number one again. And the rankings, as most of our listeners know, are weighed over a two-year period. We just have a new number one every other week. Why is that, in your opinion?
Well, you know, I can't get into the calculations of how this system is. It's way above my pay grade. You know, I mean, I made 1600 on the SAT, but that was a cumulative score of taking it three times. So I don't really understand the math.
It still counts. Still counts.
Yeah.
But I will speak to this, you know, and there's a lot of people that have, and I'm sure you guys have talked about this too. Would golf be served better to have a dominant number one, like a Tiger Woods over those years? And, Dustin Johnson was pretty strong as the number one player for a while there. Or is parity better, where one guy holds it for a few months, another guy holds it for a few months or even weeks and so on and so on? Which is better? I don't really know, but I don't think it hurts the game having parity as far as who's number one here for a few weeks and number one there. If anything, I think you pay more attention to golf at that point. But that's just my opinion. Yeah. I'm inside the bubble. I'm not a sure. passive fan. So,
well, and Frank, to your point, again, we're joined by Todd Lewis with Golf Channel. Justin Rose is number one by a hair, and literally a hair, over Brooks Koepka temporarily. DJ, who held the number one spot for a long, long time, has fallen to three. Justin Thomas, four. Bryson DeChambeau has moved up to number five. Rory, Molinari, Rahm, Fowler, Fleetwood. I mean, these are guys, when you're looking at Molinari, Rahm, and Fleetwood, guys, and DeChambeau, guys that hadn't even, like, sniffed the top 10 for quite a while. So you do see a real influx, and obviously some names, Jordan Spieth being one in particular, that is falling out of the top 10, and Ricky may fall out. He's at number nine right now and maybe going backwards. It does change. So I do think that it helps. I liked when there was a dominant, I think it has always shown when the Bulls were winning and Jordan, it helped the interest because it was a beat the guy, the king of the hill, and everybody has to take him down. Everybody had to take Tiger down, and sure. I think it was great. Now I think that there's just this influx of, you know, within 2 weeks, we may see Molinari be number one in the world. I'm not saying it cheapens it. I'm not saying he's a great player, but, you know, it's almost like they're kind of like playing a card game, and whoever has the hot hand, right, suddenly puts down their cards, and for a week or two, you're number one in the world.
No, I mean, I see that argument for sure, and I get it. I'm actually interested to see which one of this pack. I kind of relate it to a NASCAR race at Daytona or at Talladega. You know, when they're all bunched together in the draft, I'm interested to see who's going to pull away and stay out front and get away from the lead pack. So yeah. I kind of like watching that happen, to be honest with you, as opposed to once a player gets there and keeps it.
Or who's going to hit the wall.
Yeah.
And Brooks Koepka, and who's he going to take out?
Well, no. Brooks is a sweetheart of a guy, man.
He is. No, I'm just saying he's a very physical, he's a tough guy. I don't think people give him nearly enough credit for being the tough guy that he is. And
one of my favorites out there, and we're not supposed to have favorites, but just because of his personality and just the way he is Tony Finau. Now, you're out there, as we are a lot every week, watching these guys play. Give us your read on Tony Finau this season, his game.
I think Tony, this was a big year for Tony in the fact that he was so consistent. I think he's the only player top 10 in every major. So I think that was very important for him to step up in a great stage. I mean, contrary to Tony, you talked about Bryson DeChambeau, who's won five times in the last 2 years, four times this year. He hasn't sniffed the top 10 in a major. So, you know, for Tony to do that, I think that has given him confidence, which is the most precious commodity on the PGA Tour. And I think it was a big thing for him to be selected as a captain's pick for the Ryder Cup. We as media members and fans may see, you know, there's not a big difference or not much of a hurdle between being a good player and a great player, when in actuality, there's a chasm. And so I think there was a big, big stepping stone last year, or this year rather, for Tony Finau moving forward in his career.
There was a rumor that Tiger Woods, before or at the Tour Championship, I believe, went up to Finau, and they were talking, and he said, you know, you hit the ball a long way, but just think of what you could do if you could get that backswing just a little bit further back. Do you know that to be true, or gamesmanship, or what?
I don't know if that's true or not, but I think Tony's fine where he is as far as distance.
Yeah, I wouldn't mess with it. How much farther does he need to hit it?
Yeah, top 5 to 10% driving distance on the PGA Tour should be just fine.
Yeah, I think he's going to do okay. Todd Lewis, a great friend of ours, and the only golf partner who put me in the hospital several years ago after a round at French Lick, Indiana.
Come on. You make that sound so awful.
I know.
You didn't put me in the hospital. I put me in the hospital, but that's beside the point. So how's the golf game, Todd? Are you getting to play any?
It's funny you say that. I am actually – so I haven't been on a plane for work to cover a tournament since the Ryder Cup. And so this entire month I'm trying to reconnect with two things, my family and my golf swing.
Not necessarily in that order.
Well, no, yes. I know his family. It's in that order, trust me.
And I'm actually right now at my club practicing because tomorrow begins our member, and I don't want to come out there and make a total ass of myself. Uh-oh. Because people mistakenly think that because I work at the Golf Channel that I should be a +2 handicap. And it is far from that, as you know, Frank.
Yes, your game's a lot better than mine. I experienced that the other day at my club with some new members, and they wanted to play golf with me because, you know, the PGA Tour, Golf Talk America.
Right.
And they said, how long have you been playing? I mean,
just started yesterday.
When you take a quad on number one, it's going to be a bad day.
Exactly. So I come at the Golf Channel from a journalistic perspective. Like, I'm not Frank Nobilo, Brandel Chamblee, David Duvall, who come at it from a playing perspective. So it's a big difference.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You have to validate or refute this. Brandel's going to go out and play some golf. He's going to get back on on the competitive champion circuit. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's going to try to get some sponsor exemptions. I was actually at St. Andrews when he qualified for the Senior Open last year. And, I mean, I'll give him credit. He was out practicing religiously, and he was firmly excited about playing again in a competitive environment, especially a senior major. Now, he missed the cut, but he learned a lot. Yeah, he actually said after his second round missing the cut that just kind of what I was talking about a few moments ago, there is what seems like a fine line between being good and great. There's actually a large line. So he learned a lot about what he needs to do to improve his game if he wants to be at a high level of competition. And look, man, I think he'll come. I'm actually, he's at the club I am. I've seen him out here practicing a lot, and he's striking it pretty well. And he's got a strong mind, obviously. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him get out there and you make cuts on the Champions Tour. There is no cut. But maybe putting himself in the mix here or there. You know, who knows?
How good would that be?
It'd be a good story, wouldn't it? We're talking again with Todd Lewis.
You got to make birdies on the PGA Tour Champions, though. That's the big thing. You got to putt.
Yeah.
And there's this.
And you got to beat longer.
This German guy that is pretty good out there too. that's still playing way out of control.
Yeah, he'll be playing well when he's 70, or at least it seems that way. Hey, so Todd, go back to Mayakoba. For a guy like Spieth playing the first time in the fall season, if you will, period. I think tells you how seriously he takes the struggle he's been going through. He even switched driver and 3-wood, different than he used different ones in Las Vegas in his last start, and now he switched back to the driver 3-wood that he's played for the last 5 years. He's struggling, yet he's tinkering, he's doing things, trying to get back to what he had. Just your evaluation of Spieth, and is he close to being back to what he used to be, or is he in a free fall?
No, I definitely don't think he's in a free fall, for sure. I think what's interesting? First off, I want to say that Jordan Spieth is one of the best people out there on the PGA Tour, and I think he's a great asset to the game. I think in some ways, I've had this conversation with some analysts and former players in the PGA Tour in our NBC trailer, that that year in 2015, when he came out and he could have won all four majors, he won two. That if that was, if that put some internal pressure on him moving forward, or if some aspect of his game slips, which really triggered a bad year for him, was his putting, which is his bread and butter, that that spills over to other things. And then all of a sudden that internal pressure of like, why am I not playing as good as I was 3 years ago, comes up, and then you're really a mess. And I think some of that happened this year. But I think Jordan will get it straightened out. And I mean, he put himself into contention at Carnoustie at the Open. And, you know, I think he just wants to stay fresh. He's, you know, he's getting married in a couple of weeks. So he's not going to play the, he's not going to play the Hero World Challenge, which he normally plays. And so, you know, he wanted to get a couple of events in, shake some rust off. And he and his swing coach, Cameron McCormick, have been working hard on the swing. And, you know, I think it'd be good. I think I'm not worried about Jordan Spieth. He will put himself in contention. I'm pretty much all but guarantee that he's going to win an event in 2019.
Yeah, it would seem like it'd be almost impossible for him to go 2 years without winning in the tour. But certainly the pressure's there, and that includes the internal pressure that he feels amongst himself or by himself. To he's got a lot of sponsors, and that adds pressure. A lot of people putting money into him, and that adds pressure, and all the thoughts that are in your head. He started out well in Vegas and just couldn't finish, which also seems to be the issue for the last year or two with Rory. And not that Rory's struggling all that much. He did have a victory last year, but putting those four rounds together is going back to how tough it is just to win on the tour. But putting four good rounds together is really, really hard, isn't it? Because a lot of these guys can play one or two good rounds, but it's those four rounds of 66, 65, 63, 67, really, really hard to do.
If you look at scores generally from winners on the PGA Tour, there is four rounds, there's going to be a day where you don't have your best. The great players, I should say, can turn a 74 into a 69. And that indeed is the difference. And, you know, maybe that's what Rory is struggling with right now, is that although he may show up at a day where he's not striking it as well, he's struggling scoring well. So in other words, his scorecard is reflective of how he's striking it that day. So, look, again, there's somebody else who I do not worry about. McIlroy. I mean, there are two people, there are two players, in my opinion. And I think if you asked a majority of PGA Tour players, they would say this too. There are two players that if they're on their game, they are the most intimidating on the PGA Tour, and that is Rory McIlroy and Dustin Johnson. No doubt. Yeah, and if I think Rory will be fine. His, just like Jordan, his mind is incredibly strong too, and he's got immense talent.
Yeah. Hey, before we let you go, and I know you need to get out there and get some practice in.
You're not kidding.
Well, I don't mean it that way, but Memphis, going to be a different breed of cat. Now, you know, I'm always in Memphis, the St. Jude. I've played in that Pro-Am forever. Are you going to be at the WGC in Memphis? Do you know yet? Or?
I do know my schedule, and sadly, I'm not going to be because I stay over just like I did the last few years. I stay over for the only PGA Tour Champions event that I do is the Senior Open, and it's on NBC, and so I stay over for that. So I am because of the scheduling, I am not going to be in Memphis.
Man, I've been dying to get you down to the Rendezvous and chow down on some ribs.
I've been there before. I've done it. I would love to. I haven't been to Memphis since it was the Stanford.
Yeah.
I'd love to get there. I think I've heard some whispers possibly about that date moving next year. Following season or following year, 2020.
Right.
So we'll see if that happens.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to go ever if you're traveling, by the way, and Fred Albers invites you to dinner. Just sit on the other side of the table. You could lose a finger. So we love Fred. We're just playing with him. But anyway.
Hey, by the way, Todd. One other thing too, if you could, we haven't asked you about. And ironically, this is actually on the schedule. If you go to pjtour.com and look at the schedule, and it goes through the whole list of week to week, Shriners, Mayakoba, RSM, all the different tournaments. Stuck right in there on November 23rd is the match, Tiger versus Phil. It's officially on the schedule on the PGA Tour, even though it's just two guys, and they're playing in a winner-take-all $9 million event in Las Vegas at Shadow Creek. What are your thoughts on that? Are you looking forward to it? Do you think it's going to be a bust as far as how many people are going to want to watch? They're apparently not letting fans there other than a few high rollers. What's your take on this?
Well, I could care less about their golf. I could care less about the shots they're going to hit. If I'm paying attention to it, it's just because of the smack talk. That's all I care about.
It's going to be great.
That is all I care about. That I know these two. Yes, they have become closer, let's say, and they are friendly and friends. But make no mistake, they want to kill each other. I'm actually surprised, to be honest with you, that this came about. If you look at this, I feel like Phil has a lot more to gain than Tiger out of this if he wins this, given that, you know, Tiger's owned a lot of him throughout his career. Yeah. But I think the smack talk will be worth the purchase, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun event. There's no doubt about it.
You know what's funny, Frank, was speaking about the two of them being friends but also very competitive with each other. And I can't remember the tournament, but it was several years ago. They were playing together in the first round, and I think it might have even been a major, but they're teeing off together. And you know how the guy in the tee box makes the announcement of next on the tee box, yeah. And he gives your credentials. And it is hilarious if you Google it and take a look at it, and it says, on the tee box, the winner of the 2002, 2005, 2007, PJ, the winner of the Masters, and it goes through this whole litany. And as he's saying it, Phil's standing up to the side finally, and the guy's going on and on and on. Phil goes, all right, all right, all right. And everybody just cracks up like, that's enough. I mean, it didn't end. It went on and on. And so I think they do have a healthy respect for each other and a lot of fun. And that's kind of, in a very small window, I think what people are hoping for is there's that exchange. You know, close to the pin, and one of them's going to pump up $100,000, longest drive on this hole, or whatever it might be, to see how they do interact and have fun with each other. I'm very looking forward to it, like you said, Todd, aside from the golf, just the interaction that these guys are going to have.
Well, yeah, I agree.
I think it would be great if they each had their own personal accountants walking behind them with a checkbook, and they have to pay off on each hole for the side bets. That would be
big wad of money.
Relief.
Like it's Jordan and Barkley.
Yeah, exactly.
Playing in their game or something, they got a big wad of cash in their bag. Yeah, that'd be the. And by the way, the purse will stand out too, because you look at all the normal stops on the tour. You know, Shriners was $7 million. The Sanderson Farm was $4 million, $9 million for the CJ Cup. You go on and on. That's the total purse for everybody. These guys' total purse is also $9 million. It's like
two guys' total purse is bigger than
everybody else's full field. Yeah, it's a lot of money.
Hey, Todd, as always, we really appreciate you taking the time out to join us on the show, and it's been far too long. And we want you back as often as you can possibly come on.
Just ask anytime. Love to do it.
All right, Todd. Take care. Good luck this weekend. Yep.
Play well.
Thank you. All right.
All right, buddy. See ya.
All right. Todd Lewis from the Golf Channel. And, yeah, he does hit all the events. I mean, we go to a lot, Frank, but he is at everything
he's everywhere.
Cool and big about golf. He's going to be, going to Dubai. Oh, yeah, I got to go to Dubai. I just got back from the Ryder Cup. You know,
we have a big time at the Players Championship every year. Todd and the NBC crew and the Golf Channel crew, we all go out together and have dinner and a couple of adult beverages and just have a good time with. And you know, that's my favorite tournament, as I've always said.
Yeah.
Because of living there so long, I love Ponte Vedra and looking forward to the Players Championship in March this year.
You don't have to wait so long.
No, it's going to be busy. You know, the tour, they talk about the players and the new schedule now. Well, it's changed us too, Tim, as you know. I mean, it's jamming us up where we're going to be on the road 2 and 3 weeks at a time. And
kiss mom bye and just go.
See ya.
Now that you brought it up, March in Jacksonville will be very different weather than we've been used to for the last 20 years.
Yes, the course will play totally differently. The winds come out of a different direction in March. The temperatures can fluctuate all over the place. I mean, my gosh, it can be just really cold in the morning and then warm in the afternoon or hot in the afternoon. And, again, the winds play havoc. And we'll get Steve Elkington on to talk about that because he played the Players Championship in March, won it twice in March. He has some real great insights into that. Spoke with him this week, by the way. SecretGolf.com, which is a partner with Golf Talk America, has some exciting things coming. And we'll be announcing some of those coming up really soon. And some Club Corp events. Our good and wonderful, and we love our sponsor, Club Corp, the leader in private clubs, as you hear me say at the start of the show. Took a quad at a Club Corp course.
Wasn't their fault, Frank.
No, it wasn't. I hit, you know what, though? I got to tell you. This is just this past Saturday. I was in a game with a bunch of groups, right?
Yeah.
And needless to say, I didn't come home with any money in my pocket. But when you start with quad, number one, it just sets the tone for the day. Now you're trying to figure out what in the heck is going on. I hit 90% of the fairways and still just shot terribly.
Did you on that first hole?
No, yes. No, 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 no. I split the fairway.
You got a quad from the fairway.
A quad from the fairway. Yeah. That's
rough.
Daffy Duck, baby. it was the over-the-top, closed-face, low burner. Gone. Oh. OB, second shot. Drop one. Boom, OB. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's golf, right? All you need is one good show.
Yes.
I mean, one good shot. One good shot kind of keeps it going. Oh, you can play a little music for us, Frank?
Well, I was. I forgot to mute the studio line after Todd went off. And
Is that Todd calling for from golf tips from you, maybe?
No, but Todd, Todd's a player. He's a great singer, really. Had a great band, and he's a really, really good player. Very consistent. And he also, outside of that, is probably one of the best people I know. He and his gorgeous wife and baby are just fabulous people. And Golf Channel is very lucky in NBC to have him because he is just knowledgeable, eloquent, articulate, and just one of our favorite guys. So,
by the way, we're talking about the Mayakoba Classic, and this is Thursday, and of course we're a podcast, so you can listen to us anytime at your convenience, and that's what's awesome about the podcast here and our wonderful show, Golf Talk America. But having said that, I'm still going to give you a little bit of an update what's going on. You may know this already by the time you hear the show, but James Hahn, 7-under, Frank, through 14 holes.
That's crazy.
To open things up at the Mayakoba Classic. So for all these guys that are playing, and there's some big names. I mentioned that Jordan Spieth is playing, Ricky Fowler's playing, Matt Kuchar, Tony Finau. They've got a very good field.
It's a good field,
playing in this tournament. Yeah, Gary Woodland playing in this tournament. And they're on fire because it goes from 7-under to 5-under, a bunch of guys at 5, some more at 4. So
no win.
They're getting off to some very, very early good starts in this tournament. So if you're looking at winning this one, and I'm talking to Spieth and trying to get out of his rut, if you will, it looks like somebody's going to have to get into the 20-under range to win this. So it's four big rounds that you're going to have to put together. And that's what's weird. We were talking with Todd. Let's just say James Hahn finishes here and shoots his a 63 or 64. How often do we see that same guy come back and shoot 72, right? It's
very
so
often.
Hard to very put back-to-back a 64 and then back it up with a 66. It's just – it's very hard to do. That's how you win tournaments, but it just doesn't happen that much.
Are you telling me I can go out today probably and shoot a 66?
That was the point of that, yes.
Okay,
After your last round and the quad, you might birdie the first. But sometimes, Frank, here's what I find in my adventures on the golf course, as well as my observation in sports in general. If you return the opening kickoff for a touchdown, more often than not, I think your team loses. If you do a pick six on the first play and go the other way,
time
you
out.
Lose.
Stop right there. That's enough about the Ole Miss Alabama game, okay? That's just enough.
nothing,
it wasn't a run back for the kickoff, but we did take it from the 25, one pass, boom, touchdown, 7-0. Ole Miss is going to beat Bama. Final score 62-7.
See what I mean?
Oh, it was brutal.
There's a letdown. There's something. If you birdie that first hole, while it feels great, and you're certainly not going to try to sink that putt and everything, it doesn't always parlay into a really good round. You kind of look back and go, God, I got it off to a great start. Yeah. What happened? After that birdie, you're like, I don't know.
Yeah, what hit me?
So sometimes maybe a bogey can make it a good round.
Yeah, well, okay.
And I don't mean your dog. I just mean
Bogey the Wonder Dog. He is the best.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to play a little bit of golf today. I'm sure you are too. And tomorrow.
Actually, I've got
just by the way, just got a text from one of Jordan's best friends in the world, just mentioning that Spieth's on. So. We got to watch him.
It was your birthday, too, yesterday.
Yesterday
was it
was.
So happy birthday.
Thank you.
Hey,
thank
Golf you. Talk America, happy birthday to Frank. 52 years old. Good for you. Way to go.
You're a good man. You're a good man.
52 is a good year. That was
you
a
know,
good year.
We're doing the show, and I'm looking out of the studio windows watching the waste management come by and just pick up. I can't say anything bad about them. They're a PGA Tour sponsor. But they did kind of spill a few things out of the trash that they were emptying. Oh, they're picking it up. Okay,
yes.
Good man. over the parking lot. So, like, good Lord, what is that? Golf I'm just Talk America play by play right now.
I was going to say,
the garbage
trash play by play only here on Golf Talk America.
Looks like the clamps are around the trash can. The trash can's lifting in the air.
Oh,
it's so looks like it may be drawing a little bit to the left. Oh, it's all over the street.
So, yeah, there you go. And on they go to the next house.
Exactly.
You're like standing there in your street looking, going, guys, anything? Did you get anything in the truck at all? No? It's all right here still.
I have to tell you, you know how they pick up the big green thing and they dump it over. Yeah. Those trucks. I don't know how we got on garbage trucks. Probably the quality of the show. Have no idea. But anyway, I saw them a few weeks ago lift it up and dump the whole, it came off of the supports and the whole thing went into the truck.
Ooh.
So then they had to bring out a lift, and they couldn't move the truck. So holy for smokes. 2.5 hours, that's all we saw out of our studio window is the big green dumpster. Really, really fun day. My COVID's going to be a blast. One last thing before we go. I heard that Tiger turned down that Dubai tournament. Read that today. The Dubai tournament, but a tournament over there. And it was many millions of dollars that he was offered. And he said, nah, I don't want to do it.
You know why? Because he totally thinks he's going to earn $9 million coming up a little bit later this month.
He probably will.
So or like, more. You know, I
think
I can pass up a few others. So I'm going to make nine here on this little thing here with Phil. So.
Well, we're talking about the money that this tournament, this two-man tournament is going to garner. I really would love to know the numbers that are going to be going on the side bets with the VIPs.
It would be interesting.
That'll be a bigger number.
There's got to be some kind of line on this too, doesn't there? I mean, has Vegas got some kind of...
I haven't read it, but we'll look it up and do it on
Tiger
our next
versus
show.
Phil? Yeah. I mean, I got to think Tiger would be favored because...
Well, sure.
A, he's what, seven, 8 years younger than Phil. And B, he's just playing better. Phil has not been playing all that well. So I got to think the smart money is going to be on Tiger. But, you know, Phil is a gambling fool, and Phil loves...
Doesn't back away.
I don't think Phil eats breakfast.
He doesn't
flinch. Some money on it. Nothing. I mean, it's, yeah. Everything he
I
does...
I bet you those eggs are undercooked. $100 those eggs are undercooked.
Bet you the guy next to me gets scrambled. Bet he gets scrambled. What do you say? $100? $100 he gets scrambled. I mean, it's just who he is. So
bet you he falls off the bar
still.
Not Phil.
Yeah.
Somebody else.
Yeah.
Todd talked about out in Vegas. Well, here's where I'm going. Todd was talking about out in Vegas, and I was not there this year, but last year at the Shriners Hospitals for Children Open, we were there and went to the Ernie event, and it was awesome. Els for Autism and his whole team out there do a great job. And we were in the bar there at TPC, where the tournament is played, TPC Summerlin. And a person to go unnamed was sitting on the bar stool, and it was getting a little late. The tournament was over. Play was over. It was about 8 o'clock, and we're still there having conversation. And they turned to say something to Ernie, who was sitting over the table with us right across from the bar, and face-planted right out of the bar stool. Bam! Hit the floor.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. So we were betting that he couldn't play the next day, and he got out there and shot 3 under. So...
Really?
No, I will not name that player, but he is my hero, I will tell you.
There's some skill.
That's skill. Well, you know, it's that tournament is a lot of fun. You know, the Shriners do know how to party, and they do know how to raise a boatload of money for the children, and that's what counts. So
yeah, good.
So all right. There you go.
Well, we're done. We had a great show. We appreciate everybody, as always, for listening. We certainly appreciate all of our wonderful sponsors, including Club Corp. If you want to know more, go to clubcorp.com, and you can find out how to be a member for a day. You can also go in the top right-hand corner, and the drop-down will show all the different courses around the country, and certainly one that's close to you that you can go check them out and see what a wonderful facility is in your neighborhood or if you're traveling somewhere at Club Corp. Clubcorp.com, again, is the website. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you to Todd Lewis for Frank Bassett. I'm Tim Matthews. We appreciate each and every one of you for listening, and please remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.